DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Esseff has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Esseff assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, I'm just thinking about when I say, I believe in Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. What is that? You know, when you say that, you know, what kind of faith is that? You know, in the scripture today, Paul in the second reading is talking about cultural Hebrews, cultural Israelites. I believe we have so many cultural Christians. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. What does that really mean? You know, to me, as you know, if you're a priest, do you really believe that? You know, is it integrated into you? Or into your family, or into your community, you know, and your parish. What does it mean, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Listen to what Paul says about the Israelites. They are Israelites, he says. There's the adoption. There's the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promise. There's the patriarchs. And from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is over all, God, blessed forever. Amen. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And this, they have this power. But that's what we have. That's who we are. And when I read about Jesus today inviting Peter to get out of the boat and to come and walk on the water, when I say Jesus Christ is in me, I really believe that. But can I do the things he did? He says, what I have done, you will do, and even greater things. Can I walk on the water? Can I do things like he has done? What kind of power is this that each of us has if Christ is living in each one of us? His future pope, he says to Peter, get out of the boat. And Peter says, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water. So Peter gets out of the boat, and what does he do? He starts walking. He actually walks on the water. And then what does the scripture say? He gets this headwind. Strong winds that he wasn't expecting. And all of a sudden, he doubts. And then Jesus says a very strong reprimand to him. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, and I really believe that he could say that to me so many times. I was a priest for 30 years when I met someone who had the kind of faith that I really was astonished by, really, was when I met Mother Teresa. I'm a priest 30 years now, and I meet her. And I meet her in Beirut. The magnificent story of this happening. The Eucharist, she's so hit me with the power of the Eucharist. Almost everybody knows the story where there were 53 Muslim children. They were in an orphanage in West Beirut. And she wanted to go and take those children and take care of them because they were abandoned in the orphanage that they were in. But she was absolutely forbidden by the president to do anything like that, because at that time, there was shelling back and forth between East Beirut and West Beirut. And these children happened to be in West Beirut, and she was in East Beirut, where her convent was, in Sidi Bouchria. So she says to the priest, to Father Flucht, she said, "Would you place the Blessed Sacrament on the altar? You know, here we are, and we all believe in the Eucharist." But when she heard him say, the president say, because she wanted 10 Red Cross trucks to go and to get those children, she said, "If that shelling stops, will you give me those 10 Red Cross trucks?" He said to her, almost laughingly, because it hadn't ceased for 10 minutes in months. But she said, "If it stops, will you give me those trucks?" She then asked us to put the Blessed Sacrament out on the altar. Who's she going to go to? Not the president. She's going to go to Jesus. That's her person, and that's who she has faith in. So she comes to Jesus on the altar, 9 o'clock at night, 10, 11. I don't know what she's saying to him, but I know I thought I was praying the rosary or whatever prayers I offered to him. Midnight. Oh, I'm sure now that's enough. No, this is me. This is me, John Essef. 1. 2. She's just begun. 3. 4. 4 o'clock in the morning, the shelling stops. Because he is the Lord. She has come to him. He has this power. Dead silence for the first time in Beirut in months. Over the last 10 minutes, no. Hour. 6 o'clock. She calls the presidential palace. "The president means mail. I want those trucks. 10 Red Cross trucks at 7 o'clock in the morning, traveling over quiet roads to West Beirut. 53 children covered with feces, in various stages of dying, actually. Crippled children, mongoloid, all kinds of deformities, carrying them in blankets, taking them over to their convent. She has a special formula that she feeds, especially to children. Every one of those children were completely saved. None of them died. The power of prayer. It wasn't just the humanitarian love of children. It was the prayer, the prayer, the power of Jesus. You know, do I believe in Jesus? When I began to see what is my daily encounter, the Eucharist with Jesus, do I believe in Jesus Christ as a priest? Do I see the power of exposing the Blessed Sacrament on the altar for me and the people to pray, to come with their burdens and their sorrows? Not until I met her, Mother Teresa. I knew, I read books, yeah, I know all that, but not living faith. The magnificent experience that I had through Mother Teresa, I was with her in Albania. Albania, for the first time, is kind of opened up. And communists, for the first time, it was much harder to get into Albania than, and that was her home country, than it was to get into Russia. She had gone into Russia long before, and a year and two later, she was still trying to get into Albania. And finally, the wall broke for her to go there. And they were so suffering. The communists had destroyed almost all the understructure, and the people were starving and living in such utter dire poverty. There she came into Albania, and do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, yes. And but we have someone like Mother, and so she wanted us to pray this one day. And we had all gathered in the chapel, and we were going to pray. But somehow Mother got out, and she saw that there was food in one of the closets. And she called the superior out. She said, "What's this food doing here?" Because in her order, the rule, this is the rule, that they give away all the food, anything they have. She was saying to Mother, "Mother, people are so hungry here. I've never met poverty like this, that we want something every day. And I wanted something to have every day, so I know, you know our rule is to give everything. So what's this doing here while there's hungry people?" She began to call the sisters out and the volunteers out from the chapel, and we distributed every single box of food, canned food, whatever was there, the lines began to immediately form, and tons of food was put out, and it was all given away. So much so that the next morning, we were thinking about just a couple of crumbs of food that we had for breakfast that morning. But while I was at morning mass, they have mass in their convents at 6:30. While I was at celebrating morning mass, I saw the biggest truck. It was a long, just a great big truck filled with food. And it was from the United Nations. They were sending over tons and tons of food. And it was backing up into this convent in which I was. And they were emptying the food to be distributed by them that next day, that very day. That's the rule. I mean, I'm sure those nuns who were there learned to keep their rule. How many times in our communities we are told about the giving and the kind of things we want to do in parishes, the sacrifices that we want to make, and what will eventually affect us. When I met Mother, something came alive in trusting Jesus Christ. He is the one who taught us the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Only for the day. Only now. Lord, you can take care of me today. How many days I've worried about the future. How many days we worry about what is coming, and do we have enough for tomorrow, next week, next year? How much of our energy is put into so much future planning and fear that we're not going to have enough for the future? I learned from her, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and the same forever.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essiff in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts. We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essiff.
I was with her one day, and I was there with her. We were just talking. I was giving a retreat in Calcutta. And while I was there with her, this woman brought in looked like a little monster, but it had two heads. And she was a Muslim woman, and she wanted to give the baby to mother. And mother took the baby, said she would take care of the baby. But the baby was really dying. And so after the woman, she consoled her. And when she was talking to her, she said, if I brought this baby home, my husband would give me such grief because he would have blamed it on me that I was the one that was under some kind of curse or something. Anyway, she gave the baby up. And as I was looking at this child and with her, she said to me, why don't you give this baby a ticket to St. Peter? And by that, I think she meant to baptize the baby. So it was pretty hard to figure out what was the head, because it had two heads. And so I said, what shall we call this child? She said, it's a girl. And I said, well, do you have a name? She said to me, Why not call her after your mother? My mother had just died. Why not call her Cecilia? And so I thought, wow, that's very touchy. And so I baptized this little baby, Cecilia. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You see, because I had really shared with Mother, and I really was aware that my mother never really left me free because of her worry, constant worry. Worry when I went to Lebanon. Worry when I went to South America. Worry, limiting her children in what they were called to do by her worry. She prayed, she had faith in Jesus Christ. My mother believed that. But her worry, that she, in some way, is what worry is, that you love your children more than God does. When you pray to Him who is the Son of God, when you pray to His Father, when you pray to the Spirit, when you ask the intercession of Mary, you see, she underwent the trauma of a child that dies. What is that? The ultimate of healing. Death is life forever. In this world, when you believe in Jesus Christ, He gives us a ticket to eternal life. Through Him and with Him and in Him has come an openness to eternal life. Your children have gained eternal life with you forever. As Christian mothers, as Christian fathers, as brothers, as sisters, as members of the human family. When we say we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, wow, what that is in living faith. Elijah, when he was praying, heard, not in the earthquake, not in the wind, not in the fire, but in a tiny whisper, Jesus Christ is Lord. We have responded as baptized Christians. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? I believe. I believe that He came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, that He suffered on the cross, and He died, and He rose again, and He is now ascended to the right hand of the Father, preparing a place for each of us who says here on earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Today at Mass, with you, I will read this gospel. And with you, I will read this epistle. And with you, I will read this instruction that Elijah gives us. So that we're all reading this truth about the Son of the living God at the Mass. And immediately after, we will say, I believe in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll say our creed. I suppose what I would really like to ask is, do you really, really believe? Fathers, mothers, children, priests, as we gather today at the celebration of the Holy Eucharist.
Monsignor?
Yes.
In the Gospel, Peter initially gets out of the boat. He believes and he begins to walk on this water. And I think, you know, for many of us, we, you know, when we first have those, that zeal, that enthusiasm, when we've been touched by God, we want to go towards him. He becomes afraid and begins to sink. Do you think it is because he saw the wind and he became afraid? But is it possible because of also all the people that were remained in the boat that gasped, that made like, oh my, what are you doing? And, you know, the sounds. Yeah. I mean, and then we turn our head away. That happens to us, doesn't it? In a very real way, with when we try to walk towards Christ, and then the sounds of what was that is behind us can make us turn.
You know, when you say, how can you stay in the boat and actually say, I believe? I suppose that was, in other words, if you never get out of the boat, do you ever really say, I believe? Because in order, Jesus asked the question, do you believe? And then Peter says, well, you know, if I believe, then I will answer when he says, come. And you say, do you believe? Yeah, then come. Come on, get out of the boat and start coming toward me. You can't even face the wind unless you get out of the boat. And I think, like the Israelites, some of us, cultural Christians, never get out of the boat. So we don't have all these difficulties. I mean, I really wanted to show by my stories, when you meet someone who's out of the boat, who's walking just freely, who was freer than this lady? Yeah, she's constantly unimpaired, walking freely because of her faith in Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as war. There's no such thing as violence. What did she bring to Beirut? Just peace. What did she bring by her faith? Unity. You know, those little children were all Muslim. She gave them all back. We're not here to destroy anything. We're here just to bring peace and love. And that wake up is what you really believe when you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's getting out of the boat.
Monsignor, you probably witnessed as well as anybody, as you call her, that little lady, the Mother Teresa, that, you know, not only did she have that tremendous faith, but that relationship was nurtured, was it not, by a continual prayer?
Constant.
I mean, the practice. I mean, isn't it, maybe that's something that we might be lacking, is that didn't she have time for adoration every day? Didn't she?
Every day.
Mass was essential. You know, for those of us who wish we could have faith like that, well, maybe we're not doing anything to cultivate the relationship. Yeah. Is that possible?
Oh, yes. Just look at her. Look at the breed. You see, when Elijah met the Lord in the wind, it's breathing. It's really breathing. She lived as she just walked in that. She lived in it. She was just at home in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was in her, around her. She was in him. And was through him, and it was all, he was with her. That's who you met when you met her. You know, when you meet him in a person, that's who you really see. He's there all the time, and it's the most amazing and freeing thing, as you, if you really believe in him, have the opportunity. So the wind only brings forth the deeper response to that faith. That's why Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Because it's the challenges in her life that, and as well as in our own, that are going to bring us growth.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. God bless.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this program, or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.